So welcome to Pax Europiana and the debate about European peace, and about this section is about economic reform, European economic reform, and now I will talk about the revenue structure. That's also very important. In the previous section I talked about NATO-based security, about the EU as an integration system, and then I talked about the currency, and then about the way how the optimum level of government spending is, the 40%, and also it needs a revenue system behind it, and we need to have more efficient revenue systems. That's important. And we need also to have revenue systems which really raise this 40% of GDP in order to long-term sustain our systems. That's important. Yeah? And we need to be carefully rebalancing how and after which principles these tax systems should be structured. And that's important. Yeah? And I think we should come to a way that performance is rewarded and consumption is the most important basis for taxation. That's the principle I will now explain, and to have also a structure which is reasonable. I will talk about the various tax revenue categories. In basic terms, 10% of GDP raised via income taxes on companies and on individuals, 10%. 10% raised via social security contributions, 5% raised on property taxes, and 10% raised from the VAT sector, the value-added tax, and 5% on so-called excise taxes, where you basically tax all the things you really don't so much prefer, you in a way don't want, carbon energy, coal, alcohol, firearms, tobacco, all these complicated goods which cannot be forbidden and should not be forbidden, I think so, but they have to be made more expensive, and also this must be a revenue basis. That's what I call excise taxes, and that's what is called excise taxes on specific goods where the government wants to direct consumer behavior, purchasing, by making it more expensive. That means in that case carbon energy and I repeat myself, all these complicated goods which exist but are not really contributing so much to welfare, and therefore they are additionally made more expensive in order to have less consumption. So, and what I really don't like and what we should try to get is a so-called zero tariff situation. Zero tariff, because tariffs are a very harmful way of taxing goods and services at the border, before they are consumed in a sense, at a very early stage of the production development, in a very rough way with waiting times and so. That's all bad. Yeah. So tariffs should go to zero revenues. But obviously the inland revenue must be strengthened. How to do that? Obviously by optimum and by very good VAT systems at the point of sale, in the whole chain of the VAT consumption. And there it's important to be stricter and also to have less exemptions. We have, unfortunately, a lot of different systems and, you know, all the efforts to rationalize them. They have not been so successful. But what I really recommend very much is the European VAT system. We should have also a quite uniform tax rate in VAT. Some of my friends may be surprised, but we should have 20% of VAT level. In some countries in Europe, we have now 27, 25. In my view, that's not so wise decision. It also, we have in all countries, we have different VAT levels. In some products and services, maybe it's justified to have a zero VAT level for very specific reasons. Yeah? But in all other areas, it's much better to have just one level of VAT, and that's 20. And the idea of exempting VAT in tourism, computer products and all these things is all totally wrong. Yeah? And also for basic products, because that's such a big welfare debate, yeah? Oh, sugar and bread should be at just a reduced VAT for social purposes. no, that's not the best idea, because with efficient revenue, where also the rich buy bread and sugar, and they also then, the government has some more revenues, and when somebody is really poor, he is anyhow supported by the welfare system. And so nobody will be left behind, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. But it's not that we should make this in the product markets, these subsidies. Yeah. And if there is really, that can also happen with some reduced sales for specific groups, you know, there must be charity and there must be welfare, obviously, but not in the price system, not in the tax system. This is a kind of philosophy I never understood very much, because if it's now 10 cents more the kilo of bread or less, it really does not have such an effect on the starvation level in Austria, and I'm not sure anywhere else. So this is really this kind of socialist debate which I very much oppose. It's much better, much fairer, much simpler to implement, and much better in the revenues for the government to have 20% all over Europe, and best with all our partner countries also to recommend exactly that tax level, VAT 20% for everybody, for most of the products. And no, there needs no kind of extra group, and everybody lobbies the government to be exempt. Yeah, no, there must be in some ways, like financial services maybe, yeah? Or there are other justified exemptions. I'm not against this justified exemptions, which there is a full list you can see in the internet. But in principle, the basic idea is everything you consume, everything which is on sale in any shop, must be also with VAT. And this is a very efficient revenue, and it doesn't hurt nobody, and it brings significant revenues to the government for the public services, like welfare, like everything else. So the first pillar of a modern tax system should be the VAT system. Obviously, also, I'm fully okay, you know, have also an energy tax, yeah? We don't like Russian carbon energy, and we don't like carbon in general, let's tax it. But let's not do carbon adjustment taxes at the border, which is somehow punishing country which use more carbon somewhere else, yeah? And we have a very complicated system to evaluate exactly what carbon they use there. And then we make basically a massive protectionism and harmful distortion of competition. And we create a big mess at the WTO and create a lot of unfairness for the world. Yeah, no, that's really wrong. If we don't like the energy consumption of some countries, how they produce steel, okay, that's unfortunate. We should have other means via the Kyoto process or the climate conference to discuss with them, but not to impose this kind of border carbon taxes. This is really mean. It's complicated. It's toxic for the trade systems. It's hard to document, and it's basically protectionist, evil, toxic things. Yeah, but you know, let's tax carbon, yeah, like let's tax petrol, yeah, very good. We have anyhow a lot of taxes on petrol. Let's raise them. Why not? Huh? It's possible. If that's the society consensus that we want to spend, consume less of diesel, less of petrol, yes, we can raise these energy prices and these energy taxes, and then we have certainly an effect that more people will buy electric cars. And there is, and we can also do all this kind of transform alternative energy redistributions. It's not amazingly great. I don't want to be accused of promoting too much tax increases, but it's a possibility. Energy taxes, yes, yeah. It's also good to have taxes on tobacco, you know, taxes on various things which we don't want, from gambling to drugs. Yeah, I'm also for legalization of drugs, for certain drugs under certain conditions, but to be taxed. Yeah, all the things which are in this gray area, it's better to legalize it, but to tax them and to integrate them in the mainstream economy, but under a certain cost structure, which is gradually at least making such complicated consumption behaviors difficult. Anyhow, but that's a minor debate I don't want to lead at the moment. I want to say no tariffs, better to have one level of VAT and just very few exemptions, implement VAT evenly over all the customs union in all Europe, and make sure there is as little possible fraud as possible. Also in the excise taxes. It's very much better to have harmonized taxation on excises, on from tobacco to alcohol to all these things, not to have arbitrage and smuggling in Europe and at the European borders, because we have here 7%, there 8%. This is all nonsense. Yeah? A unified consumption taxation, both on VAT and on taxation for specific goods, is very good. I welcome it, even if I shock some of my friends, but this is the right way for Europe to harmonize the taxation level for consumption and raise a significant part of the government revenues by this, help all the countries in transition to have a good VAT system with fiscal register cashers at the point of sales, with the digitalization, with central control of the tax offices, and really that the VAT system works, the whole economy works, and the government has revenues, and that's really very good. So I'm very much a fan of VAT. I have actually recommended VAT also for the few countries in the world which do not have VAT, value-added tax. That's America. I call America no sale taxes, but it's the value-added tax. It's much fairer, much more efficient, raises more revenue, hurts the consumer less. It should be nationwide in the whole of the US, one VAT level, also to raise efficient revenues, but not hurt the economy. It's very growth insensitive. It comes more, but it doesn't hurt growth. It's fair to the consumer, and it's a good and serious and useful tax. And I recommend it to have also harmonization. Yes, harmonization for VAT. And best, even if you want to hear, it's good for all the world, VAT 20%, very good. Everybody should have it. And also tax all the things you don't like very much, like carbon energy, tax them. And tax them if you want very hard, but tax them in a coordinated way that there is no arbitration and smuggling. And do not do that at the border. And please leave the border quiet. And less borders is better for business, is better for consumers, is better for everybody. So, let's come to the next shocking thing. The next aspect is the property tax. Yes, property tax is very important, and we in general in Europe tax property too little. It is important tax revenue. It's also an important tool for social justice in that sense, because when you have a big property, when you have more square meters, when you have a richer property, then you should also pay more. And we have artificially left this part of taxation very low in Europe. And it's not good. I mean, this is really very social, very fair, very perfect. Yeah. Can also not move. And it's also very good taxation, also the revenues out of properties that should all be devoted towards the municipality. The municipality, there should be digital cadastre, transparency, who rents, who uses, what is happening in that property, what revenues level, and that should be taxed reasonably, yes, and that's very good. Yeah, that should be completely transparent, and that should be also devoted to the municipality. No shadow, no kind of informality, clarity who owns what, clarity who benefits, clarity who lives there. This is, I think, very good for European governance, and also higher property taxes. I'm against any form of wealth taxes, but property tax. Yeah? So that means I'm not in favor of general wealth taxes that we should avoid. I'm against inheritance taxes that we should avoid. Where it is, abolish it. I don't like it. It's not fair. But the property which you own, use, rent, somehow exploit in some way or just enjoy, if you can afford, you know, you need to pay more property taxes. We should try now in Europe. We have about in the OECD 2% of the government revenues in property, and it should rise double over the next 20 years. I think 5% of the GDP raised from property taxes is a reasonable way to do it. And it's actually very social, fair. Some people live in smaller properties, they pay less. And so it's a totally logical system to raise property, and it makes the richer people who have a mansion with 40 million obviously assess the property values and make sure that there is reasonable taxation attached to such wealth levels. I think it's very decent and it's good. Then comes the point of social security contribution. That's another big revenue raiser. And that's also very important, about 10% of GDP, and in the OECD it's about 9% at the moment. I think it's justified form of taxation when you have, that's basically also taxation, when you have this social security, you need also to contribute. And this is part of the salary of the income level. This should be for both categories, and it's, I think, decent and reasonable to have it, yeah? And then let's come to income tax. Income tax, for me, in a way, should also, it's an important tax, but we should avoid two mistakes which we have in the past. Yeah? We have, especially in Western Europe, because there are two categories of income tax, on corporate and on persons. I talk first on corporates. We have, unfortunately, too high corporation tax traditionally, especially in Germany, Italy, France and Austria. And I think a corporation tax should not be higher than 20%. 20% is, now America has 21%, but they have some other additional taxes attached. So Germany has 30%. It's much too much. Huh? France is now reducing to 32% and is going down to 28%. Yeah? But the normal level of corporation tax globally, I think for a rich economy, should be 20%. Yeah? So that's the level which I think is reasonable. You get also all this great jurisdiction and all these amazing opportunities in Germany and France, and 20%, not 30. And that's some countries in the world, they even have higher still. There's a big list out there, and I will make a specific podcast about corporation tax. Yeah, but we should really make sure that 20% for richer economies, that means when they have reached the level of 25,000 or 30,000 GDP per capita, that's basically 20%. If you are under 30,000, I think that's a good level. And if you are in this category, to 10,000 GDP, that's about the global average, 12,000 at the moment, let's see after Corona. But then I think it's 15% corporation tax is a justified level, and that keeps you a little bit more competitive than the richer countries. And you need to have this competitiveness to compete upwards and to have higher growth. And transition countries in market economies should have 10% corporation tax. That's the fine level. Some countries like Uzbekistan have now 7.5%. But that's a bit low, I think. There's also some countries with no corporation tax. I know that argument as well. I don't agree on that one. I think there is a clarity when you have 10% corporation tax, also to have less arbitrage with the income tax. Yeah? So basically 10% corporation tax is reasonable. You can obviously do what you want in a transition economy as well, is that you leave the non-taxed profit, that you leave it in the company and you don't have to tax it. That's also what I recommend. If it's not distributed, dispersed, then it can also stay in the company without being taxed. And that's a very reasonable system as well. So that's for corporation tax, and that's, I think, the better way. And I call on Italy very urgently to reduce taxes, and also on Germany and France. And now with America having 21, I call also that this is the only real good result in our, on the bigger. No, there were some other ones, but, you know, I don't like Mr. Trump at all. But at least in his presidency, this long overdue corporation tax cut to 21 was really historic achievement in the world of tax reform. And I call on President Biden, and I hope with this very slim majority in the Senate, they will not touch that. And it's really has led to a big inflow of investment in America. And this was really very beneficial for the American economy and indirectly for the whole world. Even when we lost a lot of investment, I hope that governments will be wise enough to go to 20% corporation tax level. And then finally, income tax level. Look, we have too much progressivity here. That's a very socialist idea from the past, and to tax the rich and take it from them. Yeah? And historically, income tax has actually developed to fund the First World War already in 1913. And this was really then very high levels in the war to fund all the efforts to win the First World War and the Second World War, and taxes have kept so high ever since, and they are a little bit a holy cow of some people to make people equal in their income and somehow tax the rich, and it's anyhow not working because most of the really rich people, they are already beyond all this the rich, and they have already secured many other ways to escape. And so it's very important to have a fairer and flatter tax system. That means, what is the optimal tax system? Of course, I know that in some of these entrenched Western European economies, flat tax is very unlikely. But in most of the Eastern and Central Eastern European countries, a system similar to flat tax has already developed, and it's a very big success. From most countries have quite a similar tax to flat already. But the best countries have 10% flat tax. And that, again, I recommend for transition countries. And don't bother with high taxation level, because it anyhow brings no revenue, because the consensus of the taxpayers is not there. You have seen in Albania, when they reintroduced progressive tax in a very terrible tax reform, I lost this debate, unfortunately, in Albania. It was a bit of a tragedy of mine. I had then, when they introduced it from 10 to 23 again, then it was, of course, very tragic. And they didn't have more revenues because people simply evaded that tax obligation because they didn't consent with it. And you always find many ways to do that. And just a very few of these regular employed state employees, they had then to suffer. But in the private sector, you can find many ways to escape it. Yeah? And especially in transition countries. So for transition countries, I recommend 10% income tax, no other way. Tax the property, it cannot run away. It's better to raise property prices that you can digitalize, that cannot run away, that you can also enforce better, and so you have secure property. And also the important thing is, you really want growth in an economy, especially if you are at the beginning of the economic cycle. You want growth. You want people to get richer, to be affluent, to invest again. And you want also to attract investment. So that's the best system. In other countries, like when they are already in the medium income level, like Central and Eastern Europe is now, okay, you can have maybe some flat tax of 20%, and maybe then you need to justify yourself to be modern social democrat, and you need an extra tax level of 25%. Yes, fine. But what the Slovenians are doing with this copy of the German and Austrian system, that's totally wrong. I mean, the Croatians are relatively reasonable, and what the Polish have, okay, that's also doable, yeah? They all have some kind of 2-3 tire systems and no higher than 30 or 36, yeah? Okay, I think it's too much, but it's when that's always a consensus in a majority of a country, what kind of level you have, and it always sounds good, yeah, I took it from the rich, I gave it to the poor. In reality, it leads only to tax evasion and less compliance, more business for the tax advisors, and it leads also to less growth, because obviously then people somehow try to hide their assets. And that's very unfortunate. Yeah? And you know, the best example is Germany with this really super high taxation level on the income. And you have Switzerland, you have Luxembourg, you have Austria, all of them, and Belgium, all of them, but especially Luxembourg, especially Liechtenstein, especially Switzerland and Austria as well, my native Austria, which are all since 50 years just specialized to get rich Germans to our jurisdiction in order to benefit from them hiding their money, which they make in this wonderful Germany and this great economy. But with the high taxes, they are really driving around with money, and all Switzerland, the business model, Austria as well, Luxembourg is living exactly from this crazy tax code. And in the case of France, it's obviously then in Luxembourg and Belgium and so on and so on. And Andorra, maybe, I don't know exactly that. And Monaco, obviously the best example, clearly. And so this is all wrong. I know it's a bit of a holy cow and it sounds so good. Yeah, take it from the rich. But the real rich, you have to get in the property taxation. That's really good. Or in the consumption level, because they really consume a lot. And here, make less exemptions. Yeah, you know, all this system with international VAT reduction, reduce it. Yeah, it's not so important. Yeah, really get the people a reasonable fair deal in income taxation, and here's a massive growth potential for the European economy. Compare it also with the American progressive taxation, because you are in America, it's also progressive taxation, yeah, but at much higher levels. You have to be in Europe, you pay 50% already in Austria and Germany when you have about 60,000-70,000 of income yearly in euros, yeah. And when in America you have to earn 350,000 and then you pay only 36% or 37%. Yeah. So it's totally out of relation what we have in Europe. And here is a big potential. And given the high tax invasion we have and all these kind of negative effects of this mega high tax system, we have massive growth potential. Because investment in Germany and investing back home basically or in France will make much more sense with lower taxes. So that's really very important to reduce tax rates also, maybe to have a free level system of 15, 25, 35 for Germany or for France. If you want to have this progressivity, this left-wing idea, just for the sake of a public consensus, I'm against it, but I do this since 20 years already, and I know it's almost impossible to win because it sounds so good, yeah? Take it from the rich, yeah? In reality, it's a kind of a break for the middle class and social progress. Yeah? Because if you are already rich from a company or from an asset, from an inheritance or from what kind of great achievement, you have many ways to avoid this pressure from this progressivity. Because you built, you incorporated in a company and you then try to maneuver everything and you find always ways. And the whole system of tax evasion and tax accountants is there to support you. But this is, I think, anyhow, wasteful, but it's the reality. And I think we should all be aware. And then when you somehow whip up the populist, jingoist kind of eat the rich philosophy, of course, you can then always add more and do add more. You know, like in the First World War, they had this taxation level, I think, until 95%, and even in the Second World War as well. That's maybe justified in a war, but we are at peace. Okay, if you say we are in, because I always talk about the Cold War, yeah, if you want to put this taxation for some kind of national purpose of significance, let's talk about it. If this is an emergency, let's do extra taxes to fund emergencies. That's also possible. Yeah, I don't. The Germans did it with the German unification. It's a possibility. They added 5.5% of income tax for this period. Now it's running mostly out, not completely. That's very good. But you know, when you just do basically high taxation just to achieve the idea of social justice and equality in a society. Then I ask myself, because we have 100 years of progressive taxation now, and is the left happy about the income equality achieved by your progressive system? We don't have flat tax systems anywhere outside, just in the new world, basically, in the new emerging anti-communist world, because they had this kind of hypocrisy of like have high taxes and we are all just the same, and they don't believe it and they want to have this flat and simple and fair system, because then they understand nobody is fooled here. Everybody contributes and everybody pays this anyhow. Also, you know, when you have more income, you pay obviously more when you have a percentage system of a lot. So that's understandable and that's argumentable. But the equality in Germany with this high progressivity or in France, I cannot see the social equality so well, yeah, achieved by progressivity. It's better my system here with property taxes. And this is where the rich have to pay. Increase the property prices, property taxes, and evaluate them on the market prices and make them pay for great villas yearly, a significant part. Yeah? And that's a fairer way to tax wealth. And make sure that really the system works very well in fair with the VAT, that everybody pays what he consumes, yeah? And also contributes to the general society by his consumption. And that's much fairer, because the income tax, progressivity is basically making sure that there is a really big limit on social mobility, because the rich stay rich and the middle class stays exactly the middle class. And that's not exactly the idea, because the idea is social mobility, equal opportunities. If you can do things, you should also benefit from it. Yeah? And actually, the argument that this is not fair or that doesn't raise revenues enough, it does. Huh? And it does. And it, you will see it. Yeah? It works very well. Huh? And okay, it will anyhow not in Germany and France. We are light years away from that. There was the debate in the 2000s. I was very involved. But now with this kind of consensus for high taxation, which some countries ultimately seem to have, yes, and so we are in decline. In that's the reason, yeah, because we have this kind of consensus of envy. The focus is, if my neighbor is also not rich, I'm okay. If his house is also not bigger, I'm okay. Yeah? This is really not the way to success. And that's why I'm also very much so much in favor of a more united Europe, because we need also to have a growth consensus back. Yeah, we cannot just, you know, this policy of envy, the policy of as long as the others are also bad, I'm okay. Yeah? No, we need to reward performance. We need also to be okay with that when the others are successful. Then performance must be rewarded. And that means also investment will be rewarded. And so the whole society develops better. And this is the way for success. So that's my idea about taxation. Thanks a lot for listening to it. And I hope that you will also reform and contribute to a fair, flatter and serious income taxation, for a more unified VAT system, and for a more fair and higher property taxation. And also to tax all these things which are not so good, but don't tax them at the border, tax them at the consumption, and make sure that the taxation system is not a kind of cheap excuse for protectionism to harm other people and other countries, but is fair and is reasonable, raises the revenues we need, but also not too much a burden for the economy, and in order to have growth, and growth is what we need. Growth then allows this prosperity, which also everybody can share in via this fair system, which I've described of in the revenue and expenditure systems. Good. So far, so good. Thanks a lot for your attention. And I will continue the economic reform discussions in the next series. And I will release the next series very soon. Thanks a lot for your attention.